that you have questions, and as a special incentive, Jessica has secret treats to those of you who are bold enough to put up your hands and share your questions, as these men have shared their stories. I'm sure that a little question won't hurt. Go ahead.
How did you think to connect? Well, I guess it's kind of like two. How did you come across these people, and then how did you think to connect them together in something cohesive?
How did you come across these four men, and how did you think of something to connect all four of them into this story?
Well, unlike some of my previous films, the concept came first. I was approached by two men, Greg Carr and Noble Smith of the Carr Foundation, about making a film about Euripides. So over a summer, I know, it's definitely not the first thing you would think about, like, you know, first date, hey, let's go see that documentary about Euripides. But over a summer, I read all the existing plays and was very struck by a lot of the themes. And by the end of the summer, I still didn't know how you would make a film about Euripides the man. But I had this idea that I wanted to sort of explore that a particular journey that Euripides wrote of in several of his works in modern people. So that was the idea. And over about 8 months of just this crazy kind of, you know, needle in the haystack casting, where it was, you know, talking to people, you know, internet, publications, reading everything, looking for people who fit a particular journey that we were looking for, and who were different from each other, who were great storytellers and had good stories. So it was something that, you know, I'm still amazed that it worked out as well as it did.
Question? Yes.
This isn't a question so much as a comment, but it's a bizarre coincidence. I worked with Joe Loya Sr. And we taught ESL together in Monterey Park, Los Angeles.
So for anyone who needs to hear that, this audience member actually worked with Joe Loya Sr. Creepy, Jessica.
Yeah, he's talking about Joe Loya in the film, his father.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've met his father before, and, you know, it's a complicated relationship. It continues to be.
Yeah, he was a great guy to work with, so good to see this other side.
Yeah, and you know what, I'm sure a lot of people who know these, I mean, I actually know Joe, two of the men in the film, Joe and Mark, Mark Saltzman, you know, I have a relationship with them. Before I knew I wanted them to be in the film, the other two were the ones that we were looking for. But, you know, I'm sure there's people who know Joe Jr. who are very surprised to know this about him as well, although, you know, it's not something he really tries to hide about himself. Oh, one thing I just do want to mention, we were talking about that if you do ask a question, I have these amazing flip books that our animator who did this incredible title animations for us. We would joke that our real reason for doing this was to make a flip book of one of the animations. They're very heavy, so I only brought 14 of them, but if you ask a question, you can have one, so.
Who wants a prize? Okay, yes. So I guess if you can talk a little bit about the casting, if you instantly found them, or how many people did you have to go through, and how long did it take?
It's a good question. I mean, the interesting thing about it, because a lot of people have asked, you know, did we start out to make a film about men? Especially there were a lot of women working on this film, and we spent a lot of time trying to find women who fit this particular pattern we were looking for, and we probably looked at about 200 people over about 8 months. Didn't interview any of them. It was really more just, you know, researching and sort of going on more of a gut instinct level. I also hate doing that thing of, like, you know, you interview somebody beforehand and then they've already feel like they've told it to you. So, but also part of it was, like, you know, Klein. He was someone we found shortly after he had been released from prison, and he was still, you know, semi-underground. You know, it was very cloak and dagger, trying to find someone who may or may not know someone who may or may not know where he is, that kind of thing. But anyway, it was a very sort of long and interesting process. It actually was really, really exciting. It sort of felt like we were doing this odd little, you know, documentary detective thing. But it was really fun. I think there was
yes, you sir. Yes.
Well, I wanted to thank you for one thing, which is there's a lot of sort of ridiculous talk about McKee style working of dramas into scripts, and you kind of restored my sense of storytelling and documentary in a grand way. And I do think you ought to apply this to George Bush
So it was a comment about turning dramas into scripts, and we had a little bit of Bush commentary in there and a very obvious grab at a picture book right there.
Well, you know what's interesting is people say, gosh, you know, I wish so-and-so had seen this. Or, and you know what's interesting about it, because I did ask, you know, there were three of the four men, Klein actually can't leave France, but the other three, you know, talking to them about if they had seen something, and you know, a lot of them, several of them felt like, gosh, it would have been great if they had seen this film when they were, you know, 20 years old. But really, when they were talking together, they said, you know, actually, it probably wouldn't have changed anything, because we would have been so hard-headed, we still would feel that we have to figure it out for ourselves. And I think that that's probably, you know, part of human nature. So that's the other sort of haunting subtext there is, you know, does art matter? Can anyone change anyone's mind through art? Do we all have to just, you know, stumble and make our own mistakes?
I think you'll get a book, I'm pretty sure. Okay, I think you had your hand up, yeah. We're talking about the puppets, and did the subjects have any comment about their representation with the puppets?
Thank you for asking that. You know, we had this incredible puppet designer, Jane Geiser, who helped design the puppets, and you know, sort of based on the masks that they wore in ancient Greek drama. So actually, the subjects did not have input on the puppets, and the puppets came in very late in the game, which is sort of scary. You know, once I realized, like, okay, animation is going to be prohibitively expensive, and I like this idea of the sort of like this puppet repertory theater where they could sort of portray, you know, characters in different stories. But the most interesting comment actually was from Joe Loya Jr., who saw the film with his brother the first time, and both of them had exactly the same reaction, which was they sort of felt like they had kind of gotten over a lot of these experiences. Not that they were completely immune to them, but you know, like Joe said, you know, I've told some of these stories and I feel like I've gotten a grip on them. But he said seeing the puppets act them out, like when his brother is almost drowned, he said that all of a sudden he had this incredible wave of emotion, that one layer of abstraction made him think, he had this thought running through his head, someone has to help those kids. And it was very interesting to me that that was the thing that sort of made it new to him again. And a couple of the others had the same reaction to some of their personal scenes.
I know that this gentleman's had his hand up for a little bit. Go ahead. You.
I have a couple of questions about what happened to Billy Carey. Did Joe Loya ever reconcile with his father and before that and after about that? And did the Durham character, did he ever have any reconciliation with his previous parents? Did he still have any before that?
So the question's epilogue. Did Joe ever reconcile with his father, and did Hans ever reconcile with his previous terrorist colleagues, for lack of a better word?
I'm sure, as you probably know from knowing Joe Sr., I mean, it is complicated, Joe's relationship with his father, and I can talk about this just because I know he's talked about in other Q&As, that there have been times when Joe's father's been very upset with him, and it's very odd, like, not necessarily because, you know, you talk about, you know, Joe talking about how his father beat him and his brother, but it'd be how he had hit his ex-wife, and he'd say, well, I didn't really beat her, you know, and it would be like always something a little off the mark, so it's been up and down, but Joe and his wife just had a baby last year, adorable little girl, and that's been something that has not necessarily made him and his father buddy-buddy, but it's been something for them to be able to focus on that's positive, and so that's, I think, is good as to be expected. I mean, Joe, you know, has been very open to his dad on one level, but on another hand, you know, he's got his own family right now, and so I think that it's probably going to continue to be a little bit delicate. As for Klein, you know, I did ask him about this. Does he feel in danger now? And he sort of, I think after 25 years of being on the run, I think he sort of feels like, you know, either he's used to it or if something was supposed to happen, it would have. You know, he is living in this community that's very protective of him. And it's interesting because he lives in, like, Le Pen country. I mean, it's a very conservative, small farming community. But when he was in prison, the farmers there, they raised, like, $500 for him, just, you know, money to send him. And he was so touched and he was kind of amazed. But they said, you know, we always knew you as Dirk, this German guy who would fix us when our tractors got stuck in the mud. So I think that that also had some movement towards making him feel a little bit like the world was, you know, the continuing feeling that the world's more nuanced in a way that he hadn't understood before.
Okay, I always announce the final question, so here it comes. Okay.
Yeah. How long did you take the film and the budget?
I'm sorry?
How long did you take the film and the budget?
So the question is more of production, about the length of the production, and if you... It's always the worst question about budget.
You know, I actually don't talk about budget, mainly because, you know, now that I have producers working with me, I just let them handle it. I would say that, you know, it's a fairly healthy budget, but very, we were overly ambitious with it, so, you know, a lot of people worked for very little. And it took about 2 years to make. We were lucky. And can we just slip in? I know this woman here was asking something. And
I'm just really curious, when someone hires you to make a film about Euripides and you come back with something like that, which I thought was amazing, actually, and I loved your film about Henry Darger, too, but when you come back with something like that...
You get two flip books.
What do they say when you come back with something like that? It was amazing.
Yeah. Actually, I was really, really lucky because there was sort of an exploratory period. The question is about having the freedom to make kind of a very off-the-menu kind of film like this. And over the summer, after discussing the possibilities with Euripides, I, you know, came back and I said, you know, I don't know what this would be, but I have this notion. This is what I would like to do. And luckily, these men said, well, you know what? We didn't have a particular idea in mind, and we like this. And for 2 years, they never even asked to see a single frame of footage. I just, you know, every 4 months or so, I'd just say, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that. And then towards the end, I was like, God, I gotta tell them about the puppets at some point. So I was like, so, you know, we had this idea. And they were like, sounds great. So, you know, that'll probably never happen again. I'm spoiled for life, you know, so I'll just have to, you know, indulge my puppet obsession in other ways. But I will warn everybody out here, if you ever get to work with puppets, it is weirdly addictive, you know? Like, you start getting this glow in your eyes, and you're like, we don't need actors, we don't need anybody. You know, seriously, it's totally fun, so.
So just a couple of things before we go. First of all, I know we didn't get to everybody's questions, but Jessica was very generous, and we did an interview together that you can read at hotdocs.ca if you click on the logo for the Hot Docs Daily. Hopefully we'll cover some of those questions that we didn't get to. Secondly, don't forget to mark your ballots, because they were your tickets, as I explained earlier, and I know you all are very passionate about the film. And we've got some other goodies. Even if you didn't ask a question, you're going to leave here with temporary tattoos. How cool is that? And thirdly, please join me in thanking Jessica Yu for coming.